Acts chapter 1, and if you find your place, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, we're going to read the first 11 verses here in Acts chapter 1. I'll read, of course, all the verses. You'll join me on the even verses as we go through this passage. And just looking forward to this month of world missions and focusing on world missions and what it means to have a missions program and be a part of that in the local church and what God wants to do through us, His people, called by His name in this world concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and concerning the gospel and concerning salvation. So we're going to read here today, and I'll begin in verse 1, and you'll join me on the even verses thereafter as we go through verse 11. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Simply the title of today's message is The Power to Go. The Power to Go. And God has given us a command as His people, called by His name, called out of darkness into His marvelous light through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been saved. We've been born again. And I hope that's your testimony as you're sitting here this morning, that you, at some point in time in your life, have understood that you're a sinner, that you have a need of a Savior, and you turn from your sin and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. I hope you're saved today. I hope you're born again. And if not, at the end of the service, we would love to take the time to show you how you too can be saved even today. As the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. But as we trust Christ and as we come into the family of God and as we receive the Holy Spirit of God, who is our power in our lives, God has given us the power. He's given us the ability. He's given us all that we need to do what He's commanded us and told us and asked us to do. We've been talking all the month of January about the word cultivate and how God has done the work. We are planted in His vineyard. He has dug about us. He's provided the work and the effort and that's necessary for us to be free to grow and to do what we need to do. We have that liberty in Christ Jesus. And He's done the work. He's given us the fertilizer, all the nutrients and all the things that we need, the pruning and the caring and the purging and all of the stuff that's necessary to accomplish these things. And just really, in short, He's given us the power to go. He's given us a command to go, but He hasn't done it without any power behind it. He said, you're on your own. Just like He didn't say to that little plant, in the vineyard that we've been talking about for this last month. Okay, you're here, grow, produce fruit. You should be able to, you're in the ground. No. He's provided everything. He gave that plant the power to bear fruit, digging about it, dunging it, giving it all it needs, the nutrients. And he said, if it bear fruit, well. And if not, cut it down. Can I say something? He's told us to go, given us everything we need to go. We need to go. He's given us the power to go. This morning's Sunday school lesson was about soul winning and what we believe about that. And it's simply, it's not an organized time per se, although that is a good thing. But it's a daily thing. It's your thing, an individual thing, to go and to preach the gospel to every creature. Here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, of course, Luke writing here, and this is his second letter, if you will, to this man, Theophilus. He says in verse 1, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Can I tell you something? Our Lord was the ultimate example. He had the power, and he went. Yeah, he didn't just sit idly by. He didn't just kind of hang out here for 33 and a half years. No, he did something. He did something with it. He used what he had to his advantage and to God's glory. And so Luke is writing here, and he talks about this to this man, Theophilus. And he says, all these things that Jesus both began to do and to teach. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. In Mark 16, 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. word there. Go. Go ye into all the world. And preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In other words, there's some power here. Some power given to go. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. You see that God wants us to go. He's given us the power to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, our text verses that we read, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in all Judea, and all in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Can I tell you, that time is past. The power is here. It's ours. And if you're born again, you already have it. What does that mean, this power? Well, it's the faculty of doing something or performing something. The faculty of moving or of producing a change. Its ability. Its strength. So, in other words, this is what power is. We have this power. But we've got to go. We've got to do something with it. Did you know that you can...
There's one in here. I'll take these out.
Batteries. In the world of electricity, right? If they're good batteries, they have what? Yeah, it's power, right? If you look around, there's a few outlets around here. If you plug something in, there's power. But what do we have to do? I could carry these around in my pocket, right? And then I'm sitting here going, click, click, click. I don't even know what this is for. What is this for?
Oh, it's a little mousy thing. That's fun. You click on stuff. You do something with it. But I can sit here with these batteries in my pocket, and I can click all day long. What do I have to do? I have to apply the power. I have it. I possess it. But I need to do something with it. See? Ooh, fun. I need new power in here. But you see, we've got to apply it. Those of us that are born again, we have the Holy Spirit of God. It is the power that we have. The Word of God is powerful. We understand these things. But we need to apply it. We need to actually do something with it. We need to use the ability, use the strength, produce a change. We have the power. God has given it to us, and we need to use it. Well, first of all, in this thing of the power to go, we need to go and preach. Go and preach. You say, well, you know, I'm not a preacher. You're the preacher. You're supposed to preach. Well, that's true. But can I tell you something? In some way, shape, or form, we're all preachers. I mean, I'm the pastor of this local church, but we're all to preach the gospel. He didn't say just to those that were going to be pastors in Mark 16:15 to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We need to preach the Word of God. What does that mean to preach? Well, it's to give a truth, to help people to understand the terms and the way of salvation. Okay, so you're just basically giving definitions and causing people to understand things that they do not know of. That's what preaching is. You're exhorting people, giving a discourse on the evangelical truths and beliefs and the gospel and salvation and the Word of God and the things of God. Because this world does not know God. So it just means to teach them, to show them, to give them what they need to see that they're lost and that they need a Savior. To be a mouthpiece. To preach the gospel to every creature. You know what? You probably didn't always understand God and the things of God and the ways of God. You know what? I've been out knocking on doors. I have actually met a half a dozen people in my time out ministering and knocking on doors and talking to people that have never even heard a word from the Bible. I've even met a few people that had never set foot in a church. They had no idea what I was talking about. I mean, they had maybe heard the word Jesus, perhaps, or knew that there was some kind of a God or God, but they really had no idea. What did I need to do? Preach. To reveal to them truth. To help them understand the terminology. Help them to understand the principles. Help them to understand what it all meant. Give them understanding of the things of God. In Isaiah 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Isaiah said, "Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." You know, Jonah was sent to preach, to reveal unto the Ninevites their sin and the saving knowledge of God. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. The first time he said, "No, I'm not going to go do it." God said to him, "Go. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and tell them to repent." He said, "God, I'm not going to go because I know you'll save them. I know you'll forgive them, and I don't want them to be forgiven." He had a little animosity toward these people, and I don't have time to get into the history of it, but I don't blame him so much. They were pretty awful to the people of the Jews. So he had this little political issue with them being saved. But anyways, he tried to run from God. He tried not to go. He was given the power to go, and he tried not to go and preach. And you know the story, right? Storm comes. Throw him overboard. Whale comes, gets him. All these wonderful things, right? So the second time, he's told to go. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So some of the people of Nineveh believed God. So the people of Nineveh believed God. And proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. The king even himself made a proclamation, and these people repented of their evil and of their sin. You know what Jonah did? He just helped them to understand that the judgment of the Lord was upon them. He's just preaching what God told him to preach. God gave him the power to go. In Mark chapter 3, we know that Jesus was wanting to work with these 12 that he had chosen. It says, "And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach." You know, John came as one in the wilderness, crying and making way straight the way of God, as Jesus came to do what he came to do, and he also gave them power, he says here, to go and to preach, that he might send them forth to preach and have the power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. God wouldn't send them out powerless. He spent time with them. He taught them. And he told them in Matthew 28 to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You know what? You know quite a bit about the Lord. At least enough to know that you're saved, that you're born again. You can help someone else understand the same truth that you've understood. You have the tools you need. And guess what? You have the power of the Holy Spirit of God also in you to go and to preach the gospel. To show them the way of salvation. To show them repentance. To show them the truths of Scripture. To show them that God has His terms. And we are accountable to Him. And He has sent His Son. He has provided salvation. And they need to accept it. We have the power to preach. And we need to go and do it. God wants us all to go and to preach. We know that He gave them power as He sent them out to go before Him into all of Israel and to preach the gospel. He said that, "And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them." Hey, guess what? They don't even have to listen. They don't even have to receive you for you to accomplish this task. Isn't it amazing? You can stand and preach in the power of God, and everybody boos you and throws rotten tomatoes at you and hates you and chases you out of town. Fine. You see, how is that fine? It's not our choice to make them receive what we're preaching. We just need to do it. And do it in His power. He's already given us the power. He's already given us the command to go and to preach, and we ought to do so. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. We're just a few pages over from where we are. There in Acts chapter 5. And as the disciples have taken this command to heart, and they've gone out into the area of Jerusalem, and they are preaching and teaching the gospel. Look at verse 34 in Acts chapter 5. It says, "Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel." You'll remember his name. Saul of Tarsus mentioned that he learned at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a doctor of the law and had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, Take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. So he's given some guidance and counsel here about what the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the council here were going to do concerning these men. And he said, before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. Okay, so he's giving them some sound advice here concerning these disciples. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. Now, this is pretty wise advice for this guy. If it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So here you have some persecution and some pushback from the governmental authorities in this time. You say, okay, well then the disciples, they should just leave well enough alone. They should just kind of shut things down, right? No, they were given the power to preach. And they were given the command to go and do so. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. They were happy about it. They were excited that this was taking place, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were going to accomplish this task. That's why we see here in this early time, 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved, multiplied multitudes saved. Why? Because they were out preaching and teaching, showing with understanding, giving the truths and the principles, revealing to people the wonderful works of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. They were doing it with great power. In Acts chapter 16, it says, now when they had gone through out Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, you say, what? Forbidden to preach? Wow. Wait a minute. You just said that God wants us to preach everywhere. He does. Let's read on. I'll read on. I'm in Acts 16 if you want to go there. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia, they said to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. Now they can't go to Asia. They can't go to Bithynia. Well, God told them to go, but he's stopping them from going here and there. Well, gee, what's going on here? And then passing through Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. You know, so that all this time, God forbade them to go here, God forbade them to go there. They didn't just quit, folks. They said, well, God, you told us to go, you gave us the power to preach, and we tried to go here and you wouldn't let us, and we tried to go here and you wouldn't let us. What are we supposed to do? Well, they didn't give up. They went to another city. We'll see if God wants us to go here. They got down to Troas. And a vision appeared unto Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Finally, a place to go and to preach. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them. tried, Pastor Combs, and I just, at my work, I can't talk about God. They won't let me, and I can't do it here, and these people got upset at me here. Okay, they just give up and die. It's all right. No. No, we've been given the power to go and preach. We ought to go and preach. 2 Corinthians. The Bible tells us, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you, also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready for to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to go and preach. And preach with the power of God. The power of the Holy Spirit of God. The power of the Word of God. Help them to understand God, salvation, and the gospel. So not only have we received the power to go and preach, but we've received the power to go and witness. You say, isn't that the same thing as preaching? It's not the same thing. To preach is to help people to understand a truth and to understand a principle. But to go and witness is to give a testimony of what you have experienced. What you have experienced. Remember what Luke said. He said, Theophilus, this is something that I have writing unto you of the things that Jesus both began to do and to teach. You understand that as the apostles went forward, they did preach, but they also bear witness of what God had done in and through them. Can you give a testimony? Can you attest to the fact or event of something that has happened in your life, this thing of salvation? Hey, that's being a witness. And guess what? You've been given the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, just like the Scripture says, through Jesus Christ, you've experienced salvation. You can share that with someone else. Oh, not just the principles, and not just the truths, not just what God says in His Word, but what you have experienced through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit of God in you. You can be a witness. You know what? Someone could sit on a witness stand in a courtroom and read a law book. Is that what they want? Well, that's what the lawyer is there for. They want the witness to testify of what they experienced, what they saw, what they felt, what they went through. I can stand up and preach to people the Word of God, but sometimes they need to hear what happened to me. They need to hear what happened to you. It needs to be real to them because it's real to me. We need to be a witness of what God has done for us. In John chapter 1, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You say, what a John witness. What did John know about this? He knew a lot about it. Jesus was his cousin. Oh, by the way, when John and Jesus were both in the womb, I laughed when I was in Italy. I went to an art gallery thing, you know, because there's a lot of that over there. They had a picture of John the Baptist as an adult man and Jesus as a little baby. I just laughed because that's not true. They're only about 6 months apart. But we know from the story that we have in Scripture that Mary went to see Elizabeth and the baby in Elizabeth's belly leapt, jumped. So he has, from that time forth, John knew and grew up with Jesus. And he knew who he was. What he had come to do, he had experienced it. He knew who he was. Oh, hey, someone else experienced something wonderful having to do with Christ. In Luke chapter 2, we know the shepherds and the angels came, right? And it was a glorious sight. And they told them all about the birth of the Savior. And listen, they angels told them about it, right? Okay, that's great. But that wasn't enough. So they said, hey, let's go and see this thing. They came to pass, and the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, well, let's go preach to the whole world that Jesus is born. Uh-uh. No. No, they said, let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What did they become after they had seen it for themselves? Witnesses. They became witnesses. All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know, the disciples throughout the early church were great witnesses of what they had experienced. They had been together at Pentecost. They had seen the power of the Holy Ghost. And they had seen 3,000 people saved. And then a couple chapters later, 5,000 people saved. And all these things were happening there in Jerusalem with the local church. In Acts chapter 8 and 9, when Paul was wreaking havoc on the church and scattering the church abroad, they went everywhere preaching and witnessing of what they had experienced. What they had seen in their lives. Who have you told about your relationship with Jesus Christ? Who have you told about your experience with the Savior of the world? I often have said that if perchance you were reading through the newspaper, I know that's a little outdated to say. Let's say you're browsing online, okay? I guess we could update things. Who reads the newspaper anymore? Anybody? Okay, a few of you, maybe. All right. You're reading through there, and you go through the classified ads, and you see an ad. It says, free Ferraris. Call this number. And you're like, oh, that's a scam. Right? But you're curious. You read it, and it comes to your mind again. So you say, well, what can the harm of calling a phone number be, right? Well, it can be a great harm. Don't do that. All right? So you call the number, just on a whim. And they're like, they pick up, hey, this is freeferraris.com. You're like, are y'all for real? Oh yeah, we're for real. So you go and they say, yeah, come to this warehouse. Here's the address. Come get a free Ferrari. You're like, man, this is too good to be true. Again, this is a story. This is not for anybody to follow this advice, okay? So you go down there to the warehouse, and you're skeptical, right? You walk in, there's a whole warehouse full of Ferraris. Nathan's excited. You want a blue one? Red one? Red. Red. Who wants a red one? All right. Red one. So you go there, and you're walking around. You're totally flabbergasted, right, by what's going on. And this guy's like, hey, pick one out, whichever one you want. You're like, come on. No, look here, we got all the paperwork, titles and everything. Keys. Put your name down. Well, okay. Here you go. Title, keys, license plates, everything's legal. Off you go. Jump in that nice red Ferrari. And you're thinking to yourself, as soon as I pull out of this parking lot, there's going to be like all these police officers come and arrest me, right, for stealing this thing. But you know what? It ends up being pretty clear. You're driving down the road. Amazing. So the first thing you're going to do is what? Keep it to yourself, right? No. No, you're not. The first thing I'd do, because I love you all so much, I would call each one of you personally and say, go now and get a Ferrari. Okay? It's a silly illustration, I know. But in the realm of our physical wants and desires, that would be pretty cool. To be driving around in a $100,000 vehicle. It'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? But you know what? Isn't our experience with Christ so much more grand than that? Isn't it? Is it not? Yet we keep it to ourselves. We don't tell anybody else about it. Or if we do, it's very seldom. Isn't the joy and the excitement of having Jesus as your Savior enough to be a witness of in this dark world? We ought to go and preach. We ought to go and witness. In 1 John, John says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. What a powerful statement. Full of enthusiasm and excitement because of what they have handled, what they had seen, what they had heard, they had experienced. And they wanted to pass it on so that others could take into that with their fellowship, that they could also experience what they had experienced. The power to witness. And then lastly, the power to go and work. The power to go and preach. The power to go and witness. And the power to go and work. We know in Ephesians that we've been saved by faith through grace. We've been saved through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. We know that for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He wants us to do something with our lives. He doesn't want us to sit around and consume all that we have upon our own lusts. He wants us to do things for the glory of God. Did you notice that when Jesus, in His earthly ministry, He was a doer of the work and not just a hearer only? Hey, Andrew, when he heard about Jesus from John, he went over and he got his brother and he brought him to Jesus. He did something about it. These disciples, as they were scattered abroad, they went and did something with what they had. We know that in the book of Acts, as the people were gathered together and doing what they were supposed to do, they were ministering unto the Lord and they fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. You know, God wants us to go and do something. He doesn't want us just to know about it. He doesn't want us just to hold it all inside. He wants us to do. You say, well, how much should I do? You should do all that you're able to do. God doesn't expect anything more than what you can do for Him. He wants you to go forth and to do And he's given us the power to go and do. Maybe it's just being a witness. Maybe it's preaching the gospel. Maybe it's being a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's being a bus worker. Maybe it's being a nursery worker. Maybe it's being doing something. Maybe an usher. Or just helping around the church. Or perhaps it's earning a living and providing for your family and giving to missions and those things. I don't know what the extent of it is. Perhaps it's like these folks that have dedicated their lives to the works that God has called them to do. To go across the world and to actually go to a physical other country and preach the gospel to a people that have never heard about Jesus. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, he's given you the power to do it. And we ought to do it. Standing before you today is a North Dakota farm boy. God has sent me all over the place. I've been all over the world. And then to Illinois for Bible college. And then to Texas. To be a principal of a Christian school. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. For 16 and a half years. And now here to the wonderful area of Wiley, where all of you reside, you wonderful people. Why? To do the work of God, wherever He calls, whenever He calls. You know who's given me the power to do that? He has. See, you're a long way from home. I am. This is home, where God has sent me. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, right? Are you laying up treasures in heaven? Are you doing the work that God has called you to do? That you should walk in them? I've got about 17 more passages of scripture to go through. But we don't have time. Can I just encourage you? James tells us to be doers of the word. Christ tells us to go and to do the work that he's called him to do. In John 9, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Do you feel that way? About the work God has called you to do. He's given you the power to go. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said that we have the power. And we shall be witnesses. And we shall preach the gospel. And we shall do good works. We should. We can, but will we? The power to go.